Hi, this is Kurt Stockwell with Well Dressed Walrus. We are a local website design and development company here in Spokane. What we do is build beautiful, usable websites for local businesses. A website needs to be beautiful. It needs to be usable for your users, your customers, and yourself. Contact us anytime. We'd love to talk with you about your online marketing.
Welcome to Startup Spokane, where hosts Steve Traven and Megan Halsey explore the excitement and momentum growing throughout Spokane's expanding startup community. Startup Spokane is a joint effort between Greater Spokane Incorporated's Startup Spokane, our friends at Well Dressed Walrus, and Spokane Talks Online. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Megan.
Welcome to Startup Spokane on Spokane Talks Online, your podcast home for everything startup and entrepreneurship related in the Spokane region. I'm your host, Steve Traben, and along with me, Megan Halsey, my favorite co-host. And as you know, we're Startup Spokane, a program of Greater Spokane Incorporated. We're here to provide you with our region's story of entrepreneurship and educate you about the resources that exist in our region's ecosystem. We want to share ways for you to plug in and connect to those resources so that if you are launching or growing a business, you have what you need to be successful. At Startup Spokane, we are building an ecosystem not only that's attractive to our native entrepreneurs, but also to people who are looking for that great place to launch their next business. Megan, do you want to introduce our guest today?
Absolutely. I'm really excited to share that we are being joined by Lars Gilbert. Lars is the executive director of the University District. So Lars, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at the University District?
Absolutely. This is home for me. A lot of my family is in town or just north of town, but for about the last 15 years I've been away. 13 of that was doing economic development work in Florida, actually starting off in small business development, but that grew into larger economic development, eventually statewide, trying to find ways for local government, state government, businesses, foundations, universities to work together to create new opportunity. And so I've been trying to transfer some of those skills back to a smaller area. Thankfully, a whole state is a little bit big to cover sometimes, but here in the University District, which is it's close to about 1,000 acres, looking at how do we make this a place where business and education can really grow together.
Wow, that's a really exciting project that you guys have going, and you guys just finished a phenomenal event last night. Did you want to talk a little bit about that event, how you unveiled your magazine for the coming year?
Absolutely. We were trying to kind of reintroduce ourselves to the community to a certain extent. We've been the University District really kind of started off and was kicked off with Gonzaga University. And so sometimes it's considered a kind of this modern, you know, new conception, and it's focusing on kind of building up a district. But forever, it's been focusing on how do we create opportunity for the region. A lot of my family's up in Stevens County, and they've really been impacted by the ups and downs of the economics of, you know, everything from timber to aluminum to dairy, agriculture, you name it, has impacted my family just because we've been so committed to kind of one or two industries oftentimes. And so the district, the university district exists to be able to help us to compete better in the knowledge economy. And so last night was an opportunity for us to remind people that we exist for the good of Greater Spokane, not for our own self-interest, and that there's a lot of things already happening, and that over the next year, there are going to be amazing things both physically coming out of the ground, but new opportunities, new partnerships that have opportunities. No matter where their family, their business is, there's opportunities for them in the district.
Yeah, that's great, Lars. And, you know, I've been involved with the University District since I started at Avista back in 2004, and I think it'd be valuable to spend a little bit of time just kind of diving into the past, the present, and the future. And maybe you could just outline geographically kind of the University District for our listeners so they kind of have a visual of where it is and where the 770 acres are, and talk a little bit about kind of where – how this whole thing started and came about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I can help fill in.
Yeah,
since you're kind of the new guy.
No, so I think just roughly when you look at the dimensions, it's looking at, you know, Sharper, Mission on the north side, all the way down to I-90, and on the west side, looking at Brown for the most part, on over to Hamilton, the river, and even a little bit beyond in some areas. So I think when you look back to Father Cataldo, even, he had talked about a larger area than just Gonzaga. So I think it really does go back over 100 years there. But when you look more recently in the I would say aftermath, but in the years following Expo 74, there was a number of business leaders that realized that we needed more things needed to happen. And partly it was having research and education in the core that would really be important. And so they wanted to follow that strategy. And so in 1987, they started pursuing that, aggregating land that had been left by Burlington Northern, finding a way to afford that and to put it together. And so that's been kind of the start of what's the central part of the university district, where the public universities and colleges are.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people see the activity what I call north of the tracks, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got Gonzaga to the north north. You've got Washington State University that has a large presence there. Why don't you talk a little bit about some of the other institutions that are now involved in the district and help people understand more about what is to come on the south side.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think people don't quite realize that we're fast approaching 20,000 students, staff, and faculty in the university district alone. And if you just zoom out 15 miles, we've got way over twice that amount in the larger region. And if you go even further beyond that, there's tens of thousands more. We've got a lot of knowledge capital in this area. And just in the university district, there are 6 institutions of higher learning. So you mentioned Gonzaga and WSU. Eastern is actually the second largest presence. People don't realize they actually have more students than WSU, which is, best kept secret type of a thing. The Community Colleges of Spokane that oversees both of our community colleges is headquartered in the district. Whitworth has some of their continuing education and advanced degrees in the district as well. And the University of Washington has several degree programs, some in partnership with both WSU as well as Gonzaga.
Yeah, and I've always had sort of this mantra that we want to transform the university district from a district where students had to commute in mm-hmm. to one where they can actually learn, live, work, and play. Right?
Exactly.
And I think that we'll talk a little bit more about kind of what's in the future, but I think that's a lot of what's reserved, if you will, on the south side of the tracks. I mean, there's
Absolutely.
An incredible – we should talk about it for a minute. I mean, there's a catalytic project that's a bridge, and mm-hmm. we should talk about the University Gateway Bridge for a minute and just talk about how that'll shape things.
Absolutely. Well, and just as people have asked sometimes, like, well, why do we need a bridge? And people – sometimes it's easy to focus on what we've got but not the future. And sometimes we're really lousy at projecting to the future. And for the universities, they're kind of landlocked. And so one thing that we want to do is both for the universities provide an outlet so they can continue to grow but also provide a connection. Something that I don't think people realize is that starting on September 16th of next year, STA is expanding their medical shuttle to the base of that bridge because we've got 2 medical schools here in the university district. And how do the researchers, commercialized businesses focusing on med tech and other things connect from education to the medical district? Because, again, this is not a standalone district. It is connected into the larger region, including downtown, the medical district, you name it. So that bridge is that one of the first ways to connect the people and the intellectual capital.
Yeah, and truly a catalytic project and one that our community has been working on for, gosh, I think even more than a decade, right? I mean,
Absolutely.
For a very, very long time. So it's nice to see that construction's underway and actually you can really kind of see it taking shape, and it's going to be quite a project and accomplishment.
So you've got the 2 medical schools, you've got all of these other resources. How does it work having so many different universities collaborating in one space? Is there competition, or do they find it to be very collaborative?
Yeah, yes, all of the above. And so I think a key thing, just as a reminder for even entrepreneurs that are listening to this, too often we think that no one else is competing for this. I provide such a unique thing. Well, education is kind of similar. Yes, and so in some ways they're able to collaborate tremendously because they have very different specializations, and so each one has a unique value proposition. And yet, when people are looking to advance their studies, their careers, when businesses are looking to relocate or whatnot, there's limited resources. And so you can study medicine, you can study business, you can study pharmacy, you can study, you know, design and engineering. There's all these things that you can do, but you can really only pursue one thing. And so in the end, each of the schools are trying to highlight how they are well positioned to be able to help an individual, a business, a company to compete in the knowledge economy. So there's absolute collaboration, but there's also a healthy amount of competition, which is great because we don't want a bureaucratic thing that just exists for the sake of existing. We want a healthy competition that leads to refined degrees, better programs, better certificates that meet the needs of our economy.
That's great. And Lars, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we want to talk more about innovation and some links to entrepreneurship in the ecosystem. Stay with us while we're talking with Lars Gilberts, Executive Director of the University District. We'll be right back.
In touch, online all the time. SpokaneTalksOnline.com.
For 23 years, Hold On Now has helped our clients convert hold time into business time. And for 21 years, Greater Spokane Incorporated has helped my business grow. One of the major challenges my small business faces is finding the time to do everything. I have the energy and enthusiasm, but barely a minute to spare. GSI helps me make the most of every moment. I'm in business to help people grow their business. GSI helps me grow mine, and that's why I became a GSI ambassador. I meet other business leaders by volunteering to connect them to the community. Paying that forward has definitely come back to me in a big way. I've also earned my Women-Owned Small Business Certification through GSI. It connects me to opportunities like contracting with the government and tax advantages to grow my business. GSI, it's definitely time well spent. I'm Stacey Clary, owner of Hold On Now. We're creating something greater with Greater Spokane Incorporated.
A special thank you to our friends at Tom Sawyer Country Coffee, the official coffee supplier here at Spokane Talks Online.
Hi, this is Kurt Stockwell with Well Dressed Walrus. We are a local website design and development company here in Spokane. What we do is build beautiful, usable websites for local businesses. A website needs to be beautiful. It needs to be usable for your users, your customers, and yourself. Contact us anytime. We'd love to talk with you about your online marketing.
Spokane on Spokane Talks Online, where we're talking to Lars Gilberts from the University District. Lars, one of the things that you mentioned in the opening is you talked a little bit about how you'd work with entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship in Florida in your prior experience. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you did and how you're bringing that to this position?
Absolutely. A couple different things that I started off doing was the technical assistance for micro entrepreneurs, the people that had either a side hustle or something that they were passionate about that either was an expression for their passions or helped their family get by. And I see in Spokane, we've got a long history of families needing to make ends meet and being pretty resourceful about that. But also the idea of having a neat idea and leveraging that. So in Florida, I really was focusing on getting different groups to work together to support entrepreneurs from both sides of that, of the technical assistance, the knowing how to manage your personal finances and relationships, access to capital, all those things, those barriers that can really stop you from moving ahead. And so here I've tried to do the same, try to get a good understanding of who's doing what and how do we create opportunity for the need-based entrepreneur, the opportunity-driven entrepreneur, but then also how do we create a place that creates opportunity for the big business, because we've got, I think by my count, about $5 billion businesses here in our region. And some of them are kind of best-kept secrets, but we would feel it if they left, and we would feel it if they succeed. And so in the district, how do we make that an ecosystem that creates opportunity for the entrepreneur, but also with Urbanova and other things, that is a living laboratory to check out new smart city infrastructure, that is a great place for a savvy startup to be able to come out of our community or come to our community to create products and services that can be sold to billion-dollar global corporations.
Yeah, so the districts really evolve. It's more than just colleges and universities and mm-hmm. students, right? I mean, what I'm hearing you bring up is the integration, if you will, with the private sector.
Absolutely.
And businesses. And Urbanova is a great example, and the five smartest city blocks, people are hearing about that. A lot of this is intended to be developed on the south side. And do you want to talk a little bit more about sort of what you see as the future vision of the district?
Yeah, absolutely. The district's kind of naturally broken up into kind of about three sections of the very long-developed northern side of the river, the Logan neighborhood in Gonzaga, the central part that that the public universities and colleges have been kind of developing out there in West Main, some really kind of fun, funky places. And then south of the railroad tracks before you get to I-90 is this kind of light industrial community that's had a long history. And you've got some people that have invested their blood, sweat, and tears for generations. There's so many family businesses that are there. And a lot of them are ready to make the next jump. And they've already done that in the past. And others are looking to transition out. And some of them already are. And so for me, it's helping find that right balance of the people that are invested in the community, helping them join the next phase, and then for others, make that right transition. Because it's a beautiful place of where knowledge and business can come together, and Avista Development's project on the south landing of the bridge there on the five smartest blocks and whatnot is going to be a key focal point for that, and there'll be waves of opportunity kind of growing out from around there. And I definitely want to see us bring in more knowledge-based businesses, innovation businesses that focus on meeting different medical need. That's going to be a great opportunity, but also technology, data analytics. We've got so many resources around that, but we also need housing. But how do we encourage that it's not just on Sprague, on Sherman? How do we avoid just throwing in some apartment blocks there, but rather mixed use development? If we need parking to have increased development, that we are focusing on the future, so that parking spaces could be converted into another use at some point in the future. Really trying to think through not the next 5 years, but the next 20 to 30 years, while honoring the heritage of the people that are already there.
Yeah, that's great. And I kind of want to connect the dots before we went to break, and we were talking about the collaboration between the universities. And I think some of the projects that are underway, like the Catalyst building, I mean, that's really intended to be a place where all the universities can have a presence, and not just universities, right? Private sector, universities, organizations like Startup Spokane, Ignite Northwest, and others, and really will foster collaboration and innovation.
Absolutely.
So talk a little bit about there are lots of improvements that are occurring in the district. And the U District, for those that aren't aware, I mean, is an organization. You have a 501c3 designation, but you also have a public development authority, which is a great tool for an organization like the University District to invest in infrastructure. And while we may not have made direct investments ourselves as the University District, and I should say ourselves, I used to be a former board member, but there are lots of improvements that are occurring in and around the district that we should just highlight a couple of them.
Absolutely. So absolutely, the PDA has invested in four things so far, but one of our goals ideally is how do we act as a catalyst, and we focus only on the things that, but for us, that wouldn't happen or wouldn't happen well. And so we've definitely invested in some things like that, including the bridge. But just kind of pointing out the division, I know we don't like construction and whatnot, but division is much more attractive. It's smoother flowing. It's a safer street now for cars and even now for pedestrians and bikes a little bit too. We're looking at MLK. Most people haven't really seen or experienced MLK that much yet. But next year, as that goes all the way through to Trent, people are going to be experiencing, because the Trent Bridge is also going to be replaced. That bridge was made in 1910.
Right.
People, get closer to God when they drive across that bridge sometimes.
I'm staying away from it now.
And so that's going to be replaced. That's also going to open up more river access actually there, which is going to be beautiful. There's going to be increased trail as well. Riverside, the other bridges. There's just a number of things that have been looking at up on Sharp. Again, that was another road that just people hated to drive on. In the coming years, we're going to be looking at how environment and technology and infrastructure all can meet together, and having a permeable pavement that you can throw thousands of gallons at that sucker and it can absorb it. And so that is a great way so that we don't have a lot of runoff. But also as we as water goes into the, into the groundwater, how do we address that so that we can solve multiple problems in this, not just pavement, it's solutions.
Right. And isn't it cool that the university district can sort of be this breeding ground for new innovations and technologies?
Absolutely.
And the like? And, Lars, one other infrastructure improvement is bigger than the U District is the Central City Line.
Absolutely.
And maybe we should talk just for a minute about kind of connectivity, how the University District, connectivity, you talked a little bit about pedestrian walkability. You talked about the river access, and you really highlighted that last night, mm-hmm. At the event, and highlighting the recreation attributes in and around the district. But let's talk for a minute about the Central City Line.
Yeah, and I definitely encourage people to go check out the Central City Line and where it's going to go, because, one, Spokane, we should be proud. We have one of the best participation in mass transits of a city our size in the country and of any city in Washington per capita. So we've got an amazing heritage. People don't realize we used to have electric trucks and other things here, but this Central City Line is going to have electric buses. It's going to be doing a mass transit connection from Brown's Addition all the way over to Chief Gary to the Spokane Community College. And something that we're already seeing, so on Sprague that's already been renovated, the boarding times have been cut by 50%. They're much faster. And that same technology is going to be part of the Central City Line. So people can move very quickly. Every 15 minutes that bus is coming, you can rely on it. And you can move quickly. You don't have to fight for parking. You know you can get where you need to go quickly. And so we're already seeing people looking at that, buying up land, developing it, because you're going to have thousands more of students, faculty, researchers, downtown people that can get around faster, better, cheaper to their business, to their opportunities, to their new apartments. And it's neat to see that what we're going to have there is also going to be applied in other places. So as our part of Sprague gets renovated, we're looking at everything from how big of a water main do we have underneath to support the future business needs, to what type of technology, to what does the street look like, but also to the mass transit that's on top of the street.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I just think about, how important it is to connect students into the downtown area. I mean, it's a way to potentially retain them in our community. Yeah. I think about, and I'll pick on Gonzaga just briefly, but many of those students don't spend much time outside of their campus, and mm-hmm. and then they get done with their four-year program, and what do? They leave because they really haven't experienced what our downtown in Spokane has to offer. So I think this connectivity piece is super important.
And I think another exciting thing is the whole catalyst building, the idea of bringing business and students together makes a connection so that students see that there are great opportunities mm-hmm. to be involved in phenomenal businesses starting at the ground floor. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the exciting things from entrepreneurships, from my perspective, to see the opportunity for those students to make those obvious leaps and connections and get tied into our community. So I'm hopeful to see that the U District is bringing that together.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Lars, we've got a few minutes left in our program. Let's talk about the entrepreneurial ecosystem. And from your vantage point, how do you and the U District plug into that? What do you see as things we're doing well and things that maybe ideas that you have for the future?
Absolutely. Well, the good news is I see a lot happening. And where the gaps that may exist, there's people moving to fill those gaps. And kind of going back to just the talk of catalyst, I think it's about connecting. When you look at other great entrepreneurial ecosystems, it's about how people connect. And it's the, we talk about biomimicry and how, how people connect and all this type of stuff. Are we creating opportunities for people to connect? And so, yes, with Avista's development, the first phase of that is going to be more of a locally focused for some partners with some global partners. But they definitely want to set it up so that the future phases of that bring more global partners. But are we ready to welcome the local students, the local businesses in so that we are connected and then we connect into the global ecosystem? So I think some opportunities for us are we've got a lot of this intellectual capital here. We've got the resources. You know, if people don't know what the Riva platform is, go figure it out. Because if you want the next opportunity to connect in with a $1 billion opportunity, that's one of them right there. And if we don't see businesses starting up to take advantage of that opportunity, shame on us.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more things like that when we look at MedTech Incubator that WSU is working on. There's the money will follow. Money is looking for a place to go. And so I think for us, finding those opportunities, highlighting them, building off of it, that's the next phase.
Yeah, and I really like the fact that you're bringing up the global ecosystem because I think Spokane is perfectly poised to be leveraging resources from all over the world. You know, we have for years been fairly insular, and we have this opportunity now to have external resources coming in and helping shape and influence our future.
Yeah. I mean, it's just exciting to see all that we have going on. But unfortunately, we are out of time for today. So thank you to our listeners for joining us on Startup Spokane Radio. And thank you to Lars Gilberts for joining us to share the past, current, and the future of what the University District has to offer Spokane. Join us for future broad and podcasts where we'll continue to bring you profiles of successful entrepreneurs, information about resources, and so much more. Talk to you next time on Startup Spokane on Spokane Talks Online.
Startup Spokane is produced in Spokane, Washington by SpokaneTalksOnline.com, which is a joint effort between GSI's Startup Spokane, Well Dressed Walrus, and Spokane Talks Online. Ask a question, recommend a guest, and hear this program again online anytime at SpokaneTalksOnline.com. We wish you a great and profitable day.
When DCI Engineers decided to expand our business to Spokane 17 years ago, River Park Square was under construction, the Davenport Hotel was empty, and the Fox Theater was just a dream. I left Seattle to expand our business here because I knew Spokane was on the verge of something big. When I arrived in Spokane in 1998, GSI was where I started because I needed to build a business network quickly. I needed to get to know a lot of people right away. It was imperative that we build a presence and a reputation in town so that we could become the number one choice of anyone who wanted to design a building. There's no group that advocates for the overall business climate and concerns themselves with recruitment issues as well as Greater Spokane Incorporated. They work to make Spokane a great place to live. They work to make Spokane grow. And when a community grows, it needs new buildings. I'm Mark Aiden, president of DCI Engineers. We're creating something greater with Greater Spokane Incorporated.